Well, all right, let me jump right in. So here we are 7 years later. Do I need to show you the back of my shirt again? Because I love it so much. It's our tour shirt, Ann said. It's our tour shirt, you know. Moms of Swords tour shirt, you know, like all the rock bands have, all their cities they've been in. Well, we have all of our sessions. 7 years. This is 7 years. For those of you who don't know the story, I started this 7 years ago in January around my dining room table with 12 moms. 12. 12 moms that had just said, I'd seen them at the YMCA where I work out. I've been working out there for 12 years because I'm a routine. If you don't know me, I'm very routine. I love routine. I thrive in routine. Don't try to be spontaneous with me because I don't like it. Love routine. So I was going to the Y and some of these moms would come up to me and a few others. And I was going down to Church of the Apostles, amazing mom-to-mom ministry. There's not a lot of mom things, and I was driving. I would drop my kids off at First Baptist Marietta Preschool, and me and some girls would drive down to Church of the Apostles, and I did that for 2 years, and the Lord said, finally, he said, Joy, I want you to jump out of the boat. You know, Peter, get out of the boat and come to me. I felt the Lord say, get out of the boat, and so I said, okay, and all 12 that I invited came. The next book, you can see they're all listed, that first book. And then the next book, we had about 20. And then the YMCA came and said, hey, we hear you're doing this mom's thing. We hear it's great. Will you want to bring it here? We'll give your moms free childcare. I was like, oh my gosh, yes. So we went to this little stinky exercise room in the YMCA. Who started at the YMCA? Who was that with the first? Tiffany was actually working out at the YMCA and felt the presence of Jesus and stopped. It was like, wait, what is that? The YMCA in the TRX room, and the Lord was cultivating something in me. I had always been a worship leader, and God was like, I'm fixing to let you learn how to teach my word. I was like, I'm good with books. I'm good with leading a book, God. And he's like, oh, no, you're going to teach my word. So we had about 50 at the YMCA. I was like, oh my gosh. The next session, we had about 100. They were like, we have no room for you. We love y'all, but it's a good problem to have. I came to Sanctuary. This is my church. Said, hey, I've got this thing. I don't have this thing. God through me has got this thing. I didn't start it. It's not mine, but I need more room. God's expanding it. And the Sanctuary was like, yes. In that same month, one of my leaders said, hey, my husband's a lawyer. You need a 501c3. I had no idea because my husband, I'm a middle child. My husband does everything for me. I am happy to admit. So I had no idea what I had to do. She said, you're going to need a 501c3 because you're going to have insurance because you've got childcare workers. I was like, so all that lined right up. I mean, y'all, God has been so faithful for 7 years. So we've been at Sanctuary. We've had satellites in Maine. We've had satellites in New York. We've had satellites in Washington. We've got nighttime satellites. It's just incredible to see what God has done. He truly will take your 5 loaves and your 2 fish and feed many. Maybe some of you as a mom feel like that's all you've got to give to your kids sometimes is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Can I just tell you, little is much. There's a song Bill Gaither wrote. Little is much when God is in it. He'll do much with your little mamas. And here we are, 7 years to the month. So I've been doing a lot of studying on this seven in the Bible. It represents completeness and achievement. So that's why I've said we're going to celebrate. We are going to boast in the Lord and all he has done. The fact that he can use somebody like me who has no Bible degree, no history I didn't even finish college. I went on the road on tour. And here I am, like, you actually come? Y'all, we are going to boast in what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Mm-mm-mm. Look what the Lord, anybody remember that song? He healed my body, he saved my mind, or he saved me just in time. Oh, see, I told you I was worship leader. That's what I was first. So everything's a song. We're going to boast in the work the Lord has done, the complete work, the purposed work, y'all. It has not all been easy these 7 years. I had lollipops and rainbows and just thought, oh my gosh, okay, the Lord's going to do everything for me and everybody's going to love me and it's just going to be amazing. And y'all, it hasn't always been that way. This has been the most stretchiest season of my life. Doing what I'm doing, but it has been the most beautiful, and I can stand and say the most purposed work God has done in my heart, in my flesh, in my mind thus far. It's been a purposed work. And then we're gonna launch into the new. I told my team, I'm like, y'all, we're gonna boast in what the Lord has done. But I really believe God is calling us, like Isaiah 43 says, you know, see, I'm doing a new thing. Before it springs into being, I'll announce it to you. It hasn't sprung, but God's announced it to me that, Joy, I want to do a new thing. So we're gonna be revamping, we're gonna be relaunching Moms with Swords towards the end. Stepping into this new that God has for us. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it is. He's just told me, just like Abraham, go and I'll show you. And that's what he's told me. You just, every Thursday, you boast in my goodness. You boast in what I have already done. And I'll show you what I'm going to do next. You just talk about how good I am. So that's what we're going to do. It's a season of remembering. The Lord said, this is going to be a season of remembering. Significance of that remembering is when God would want his children to remember something. He'd want his children to remember his faithfulness or some miraculous thing he had done. He would usually make them set up a stone altar, kind of like what our amazing Michelle Carlton has made on these screens. Those stones. He would have them set up these altars. If you remember, in Genesis 28, God promised he would be with Jacob. So he said, make me an altar. When God rescued Jacob from Esau in Genesis 33, he said, mark this, make me something to remember. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus 24, God would usually tell his people, set up an altar. 12 stones. So as I was studying this, I kept thinking of this, these 12 stones. And then the Lord said, and you got 12 weeks. I had no idea. I was like, oh my gosh. We got 12 weeks to remember God's faithfulness. So every week, I went to Home Depot last night, me and little Sophie Kate, my middle child. And I bought 12. They're not stones, because listen, middle child, remember? I was just like looking. I think these would be really pretty to build like a retaining wall. I think that's what they actually are, a fire pit or something. But they are holy and anointed in the sight of the Lord. So every week, we're going to have these brick pavers or whatever these are. And I'm going to write something on the stone every week. And we're just going to stack them right here. And we're just going to remember God's faithfulness to us, to you. So this 12, there's a beautiful story about the 12 stones in Joshua chapter 4. I want us to look at that for a little bit this morning. I love how the Lord, I tell y'all this every session. If you're new, I just hope that you can hear how God, this is so his ministry. This is so what God does. And again, I had no idea when I was thinking about this, you know, 7, and then the Lord said 12, and I didn't even realize we were, I was like, wait, we're doing 12 weeks. And then these stones of remembrance. And then when I got to this story, I was like, are you kidding me? Jesus, you're so cool. Okay, so, and what else is cool is when I'm pulling back all these amazing words that God's given us, and I just was trusting the Lord to put them in the order. Y'all, next week, we're going to be talking about Joshua and marching around the city 7 times, but this week, we're going to be here talking about the 12 stones. So the way God ordered, we're in Joshua this week, we're going to be in Joshua next week. God just has put everything in order. It's so what he loves to do. He loves to show off. If we'll just get out of the way. Now, so, you know, middle child, it's easy. I'm like, yeah, do it for me. Some of you, which I love, usually you're my best friends because you do it for me. God's saying, would you just let go? Would you stop? Would you hold them a little looser? I promise I got them. If you will let them go, I got them. God's got us. He's got you. He's got your kids. So Joshua 4, let's read it. Joshua 4, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, and there was about, okay, I was reading this, there's scholars, or there's a lot of controversy. Some say there was like 600,000 of them. Some say there was 40,000. So there was a lot of them that crossed the Jordan that the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, again, when I was reading this, blown away, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua had commanded. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones. I love this leader. He does his own memorial. He set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at that place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and are there. They are there to this day. The story of God's faithfulness to the people as they crossed over dry ground. Remember, it didn't happen with Moses. It happened. Joshua was the one that was going to bring them into the promised land. So Joshua is, the Lord's telling Joshua, I need you to remember. But there's something that, I I've read this a lot, but it caught, and I know you probably already caught it because it's moms with swords. Did you catch? Look at verses 6 and 7. We cannot miss this. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand forever as a memorial among the people. Did you see that? Why would he even say that? Why is that even in there? When your children ask. By the way, this is the same stretch of the Jordan where John the Baptist's ministry will happen and where Jesus' baptism will take place. See, this right here is what Moms with Swords is all about. If some of you have no idea what we're about, and if some of you, I'm just reminding you, we are all about our children asking us things about the Lord and us being able to tell them. Because if you don't tell them about the goodness of God, the world will tell them how good it is. So, Mama, it's up to me and you when our children ask. And yes, they're going to ask you some hard questions that you may have to deflect them to somebody smarter than you, like I do. I'm like, go ask Aunt Lori Newton because she teaches Bethel and that's the Bible. And she really would know if Jesus is going to come back and if your head's going to be cut off and all that kind of stuff that my baby asks all the time. I'm like, John William, I have no idea. But I know somebody who does. When your children ask you, that is what this ministry is in place for. To tell our kids of the faithfulness, the goodness of God. This, when your children ask, that in the Hebrew is to inquire. Anybody have an inquisitive kid at home? They ask a lot of questions. And then this children, I love it. We see it in Psalms again. It's arrows. Do you know that your child is an arrow in your hand, and one day you are going to launch them to their mark? You are just the quiver holder. That's really all we are. God's saying, I'm going to give you this arrow, and he or she's going to ask you a lot. And I'm going to allow you to walk them, to get to know their creator. But then one day, I'm going to ask you to shoot them off and let them go. A short time. I'm shooting my firstborn off in August. I'm rearing back my bow. And y'all, she is so ready. She's so ready. 18 years. And then you go, boom. And then they hit the mark God has for them. But we have that time, and even after 18 years, I know we got that time after, but really we've got this first 18 years for our children to ask, to inquire, and for us to be able to tell. This is said that these stones would serve to remind future generations of God's past faithfulness in order to give them strength to continue trusting the Lord in present situations. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember his faithfulness. Got a friend going through something hard, and I text her a picture of these stones yesterday, and I said, you look at every one of these stones and you recall all the ways God has been faithful to your family. He will not stop now. And maybe the same for you. Maybe you need to go home, get out your yard, and pull out a rock and just put it somewhere and say, God, you were faithful, fill in the blank. So I believe you're going to be faithful for this. It's a reminder. Deuteronomy 6:7, one of my favorite mom verses in the whole wide world. Again, why does Moms with Swords exist? Right here. Impress this. Talking about the covenant, the commands of God in Deuteronomy 6. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This word impress, y'all, oh my word, when you dig into the word of God. This word impress in the Hebrew, look at that. Whet their appetite for the things of God. Man, we whet, y'all, we're guilty. I'm guilty. Good education. Oh yeah, let me make sure they get the bug to have a good education, good all A's, and getting on the best team. He's not good. Get on this. We whet their appetites for those things, but y'all, our most important goal, the reason I'm gonna be up here preaching at you for 12 weeks, sorry, is because I want you to whet your baby's appetite, to sharpen their appetite for the things of God. That's our job. We get to do that. We get to prick. That's another one of the words. We get to prick their, some of you got really smart kids. You get to prick their intelligence, teaching them about the things of God, reminding them of the faithfulness of God. That is what Moms with Swords is all about. That is why we exist. I actually asked the Lord, stepping into this day and stepping into this session, I said, Lord, what is Moms with Swords all about? 7 years, like, again, I'm a routine person, and I don't want to just be in a routine to be in a routine. You have to help me get out of my routine. So, Lord, is there, what are we about? Remind me, Lord, what we're about. And yes, we are here. Our mission and vision statement is to equip for sure. Man, we want you to be spiritual warriors for your children. I am all about the fighting. I'm very passionate about babies and us fighting for our babies. I want us to be warriors. Y'all, a warrior is somebody who is engaged or experienced in warfare. That's what a warrior is. That is the purpose of Moms with Swords. We want you to be a warrior for your child. We want you, I felt like the Lord said, saying, I'm raising up warriors. I'm raising up mamas that understand that they are engaged, that they are going to experience warfare. And then the Lord said, but moms, our fight will only be won as we use our weapon, which is our sword, which is the word of God. We must fight with the word. Jesus in the desert with the devil, what did he fight with? He didn't fight with his great knowledge of everything in the world. He fought back with the very words of the word of God. But this is what I felt like the Lord say. A warrior does not fight for something he doesn't think is worth fighting for. A warrior only fights for something he deems worthy to fight for. Which is why I'm praying through these 12 weeks that God will have you, mom, see that this is, anybody soon seen Mulan? I'm sorry, I love Disney and I love singing. And so I always bring it into my teachings, but a girl worth fighting for. Mulan, remember when the little girl, yeah. What do we want? A girl worth fighting. You know, and then the bad guy, they see the bad guy. That's what we're doing. We have a cause worth fighting for, and it is in your back seat. It is that little voice that is annoying you, asking the same question over and over and over again. It is that child that just will not stop hitting his brother or his sister, Ashley. That's that one child. That is the cause that you are fighting for. What do we need? What does this world need? A child worth fighting for. Call Disney. We're making a new song. This world needs a mama who knows you're worth fighting for. I had to fight for two of my kids this week. I actually had to advocate for two of my kids this week. And I'm not a big advocator. I'm again, middle child. I'll let my sister do the fighting because she's the firstborn and she will fight you. Bus stop, I had this girl, Stacy, she follows me on Facebook, so I can't say her last name. She used to try to beat me up because I would run my mouth. First grade, Julie, what grade was that? And I remember telling her one day, I was like, my sister's going to come beat you up. And Julie did have to come to the bus stop that day. Actually, for a lot longer than that. So I'm going to let the fight, that's easy. I like to deflate to the people that really do fight, but y'all, I will fight you for my kids. And I know all of you probably out there say, I will cut you. I will cut you. And we got a good teaching coming about advocating and intercession. If you've been back, if you remember that teaching, we're bringing that one back because that's a word. But I had to advocate for a couple of my kids this week. Because listen, there are calls worth fighting for. I want to fight for them. So continuing to ask the Lord, he brought me to this scripture in Psalm 139. I want to read it to you. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, I'm going to read through 17. And I got it in the Amplified, just because the Amplified version just pulls out these adjectives. And again, I love words. I'm a word person. So I just wanted to read it in this Amplified. For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Moms, this is a cause worth fighting for. See, this is personal. You've got to believe that you, mom, have been fashioned and formed. That you, mom, are the one for the job. You may think you got the wrong kid. They mixed them up. This surely is not my child. You may think that. But may I look at you and say, you are the mom for the job. You got the right babies or the right child. Whether you birthed them, you adopted them, you foster them. God made no accident when he put that child in your home. You are the one that God has directed to direct their hearts to him. You, mom. I don't care how you were brought up. I don't care what your mama told you, your daddy told you, whatever somebody else told you. You are qualified. Jesus qualifies you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made yourself. You got to know that first. And then you can just transfer that over to your children. This work of motherhood, it's a cause worth fighting for. Our God doesn't waste time. He took great delight in fashioning and forming those little bodies. Oh, man, I just grieve not being able to feel those little flutters, those little kicks, stretch, and then you feel like you're going to pee. I remember John William, he was my third one, and I remember I'd go to the bathroom about probably about the 6 month, and I literally felt like I'm just going to look down, and I'm going to see this little hand going, hey, mama. Anybody felt that way? I was like, he's going to be waving at me right now. Never happened. Thank you, Jesus. He stayed in. But God fashioned everyone. You think, y'all, it's a cause worth fighting for. God took so much time. And then look at verse 17. How precious and weighty. Also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Man, who am I that you would even think of me, Lord? You think of me, your thoughts towards me are precious and weighty. And if I believe that, then I can look at my daughter who is hearing things being said about her that are not true, or gossip, or my son who is being teased because he's scared of going on a roller coaster, and I can look at him and say, buddy, Jesus thinks about you, and they are precious, and they're weighty. He thinks about you. You are on his mind. You're on his mind. This work that is placed in your hands after many of you have preserved through labor, or after somebody else has preserved through labor, and then they put this great work in your hands. Mom, are we fighting for that great work? Not fighting that they get in a great college or a great school or on a great team or the best grades. Are we fighting that they know Jesus? My first thought when we heard the tragedy of Kobe Bryant and all those people perishing, it wasn't the sadness when that came, but my first thought was like, Jesus, please let them have known you. Those babies, those children, 13-year-olds, God, I have to know and trust that they knew you. This great work, God graciously loans it to us. He graciously allows it to be us that gets to deal with them and put up with them and teach them about tying their shoes and not putting a boogie on the blanket but on a tissue. That grosses me out. I'm like, there is a tissue. I mean, it's too far away. They have to walk. I mean, y'all, don't treat it carelessly. Listen, I love to dissect words. This word, fearfully and wonderfully, I just want you to understand this is a cause worth fighting for. That word, fearfully and wonderfully, in the Hebrew is pala. Look at this, y'all. Made marvelous. To be separate, distinct, set apart, wondrously shown, show marvelous. How dare I ever discredit that work in my three children? Jesus, You have made them marvelous, separate, distinct, set apart, wondrously shown, show marvelous. Are you kidding me? And then this word precious, how precious are your thoughts about me? This word precious in its original Hebrew, look y'all, just the thoughts of our children that God thinks of them is of great value. Look at this, look. If every mom in America could see this, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. I know they get on your nerves sometimes. I know it. But mom, this cause is worth us having the countless hours correcting the same behavior. This work is so worthy of us tending to the heart issues rather than just getting at the discipline. This great work is a work worthy of preserving through. God took so much time and thought in creating this creation that you and I get to mold and make. He took great measures, and he is asking us to not waste it. Don't treat it carelessly. Believe in this work. Persevere through this work and fight for this work. Partner with me. Listen to me. Let me tell you when to fight and when to pray. Listen to me. Let me tell you when to go and when to stay. Listen to me and let me tell you when to let them spend the night or not spend the night, or play with that friend or not play with that friend. Y'all, he will tell you if you ask him. He wants you to not waste this great work. Mothering is a great work. You are doing a great work. Do you believe it? For 12 weeks, I'm going to tell you. I want you to believe it. Look at your sister beside you and say, I am doing a great work. And you know what else? You are not just a stay-home mom. Some of you I know work. I'm actually subbing now, kind of working. I'm a working mother sometimes. So I really do respect Shannon. Y'all, we are not just a stay-home mom. We get to be. We get to. I've been saying that for 7 years. We get to. I get to Black Hawk my kids and their conversations in my van, and then have conversations with my own kids. So why did you say that? And why did you respond that way? It's a great joy of mine. Because I'm asking the Lord to continue to show me the value that he has placed on this great work. So for 12 weeks, we've got 12 stones that we're going to write on. And we're going to recall how good God is. So this week, I'm going to write this on this stone. Holy Spirit would not tell me. I've asked him for a week. He said, I'll tell you. And he told me. A great work. He has been faithful thus far, and he will continue to be faithful as we do this great work in our home. So this 12 and this 7 has been on my heart the past several months, and I wanted to have something to commemorate this 7 years. I had some thoughts, and I had these thoughts, and then I just sit on them and pray on them and just say, Lord, you'll do it, and told my team, and kind of at the last hour, we had a thought to give you something to just commemorate this 7 and just to remind you of the faithfulness of God and how he has been thus far and how he will continue to be. So we came up with an idea at one of our meetings, and reached out to a friend. Some of you know Laura Bowman. She is a prophetic painter. She paints at our table events. Gives me chills. She's a big deal, y'all. Really big deal. Her paintings go for like $1,200 in galleries. She was just here the other night. We had a women's night of worship, and Laura was painting this most amazing art. And we said, what if we had Laura paint us something? And we gave it to all of our moms. We were like, sure. Do y'all not know within that? So I was, of course, I'm like, I'm text her right now. So I text her in that meeting. I said, Laura, this is our idea. I know you're a big deal, but hey, would you do something for my moms? We'd love to do something. She said, absolutely. So, you ready, Ann? So every one of you that has registered is getting a very special print to commemorate our 12th year. I'm going to show you mine because I got a big one. Sorry. But you can make yours big too. This is what you all are going home with. You all get one. This is mine. Got not getting mine. Everybody gets one. But look, Andrea took yours and went to the dollar store, y'all. Look at that. And if you want to mat it and make it bigger, but look, the 12 stones. Oprah, we love you. 7 and purposed. Your small group leader is going to have yours if you did a small group. If you did not do a small group, back at the merchandise table, you will have yours. But we're going to remember the past 7 years. And for 12 weeks, we're going to remind ourselves of how God has been faithful, not just to Moms with Swords, but how he has been faithful to you and me and to your children, and will continue to be faithful to your children's children. So let me pray for us, and then you can go to your small groups. Jesus, thank you for this great work. Thank you, Lord, for your thoughts towards us. Thank you that they are weighty. They're precious, God. God, give us a revelation of just that thought. Give us as moms that revelation, God. So then we can in turn, as we're putting our babies to bed at night, we can just say, do you know how much Jesus thinks about you? When you don't think anybody else is thinking about you, Jesus is thinking about you. Oh, Jesus, may we be a room of warrior mamas that stand in the middle of culture and the enemy and say, to get to them, you're going to go through me. Jesus, rise us up. Some of us may feel like we are kneeling on the ground because we're worn out, we're tired, it's too hard, we don't believe this was, we're cut out for it, God. I just pray that you would help some mamas on the inside raise up, and turn their gaze towards you and remind themselves of how much you think of them, how much you love them, how fearfully and wonderfully made they are. Realign our gaze, God, so then we can face what we're facing. We can walk through what we're walking through. God, remind us of what you've done in the past. Even if we can only recall one thing, God, give us the strength to let that be our strength to move on and go to the next day and the next day. God, just, man, Jesus, would you realign our gaze and remind us of this great work we are doing in our homes, reminding us of the faithfulness of God thus far. You've been faithful, and you will always be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.